Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you. And I am so happy to welcome you to Columbo Chronicles every Wednesday. Right here on the West Coast, it's June 14th, 2023. And we have a popular dynamic guest for you today. She's a returning guest, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about her in just a moment. But first, I wanted to, again, say welcome not only to the American people, but to the world, because Columbo Chronicles now can also be heard on YouTube. Just search, put in the search box, Columbo Chronicles, and it'll pop up, and you can listen to the podcast there if you miss them on Blog Talk Radio. And you can also listen to them, of course, worldwide on the World Wide Web. So today is an exciting day, and it's a day that we're going to talk about adversity and facing adversity with kindness. So I think we've lost a lot of our past consideration for our fellow Americans, and our leaders as well appear to have lost that professionalism, that respect, that integrity, those principles, those morals and ethics, that even if they didn't like each other in the past, or even if they had some animosity for each other in the past, they did not bash cruelly and attack each other verbally or threaten each other and bully each other, as they were witnessing for at least a decade now, or nearly a decade. And it really is disturbing to most people, because most people are concerned about their children getting an education, about their jobs, about opening a business, about their money, their finances, about paying their bills. Is the government going to eliminate cash? Are they going to allow the Wall Street gurus to access our money, or the federal government, and freeze our accounts if they target you? Is everything becoming political? Well, all of these issues are extremely important, and they affect us, along with the food plants burning down, the farmers losing their crops during the lockdowns, and the wealthy buying up, and China buying up the farms and the food plants. And so the food has skyrocketed, as we all know, gasoline, electricity, housing, everything. So all of these concerns do cause people to become angry, frustrated, worried, concerned, fearful, and with the open borders, fearful of other people, because we have over 35 million unidentified third world foreigners in our nation right now. So with the wars on the horizon with China and Russia and Iran, who appear to be coming or threatening to come against America, it's really interesting to me that all these countries that we have helped, who were who really were extremely poor, and we have sent billions and billions and billions of dollars to these third world countries, and at least three of them threatened to attack America, is very concerning and very disturbing, and to many, many people, because the last thing we need is World War III to happen. So these are the concerns of the American people. And so we're going to talk about all of this today and how to face adversity with kindness, an act of kindness. And we can start in our own families, and we can start with our friends, and we can start with our neighbors, and then expand into each community. And, you know, love is an act of kindness as well. So we're spreading love and kindness and compassion for other people. So we're going to come back, and we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts. And we're going to welcome our very special guest, Joyce Alexander Black, right after these important messages. So don't touch that dial.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
The Justice Club is back on Columbo Chronicles Live Podcast. Join Rose Colombo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, we're back on Columbo Chronicles Live. We're about to enter into the world of authors and experts. If you just joined us, I again want to welcome Joyce Alexander Black to our wonderful show, Columbo Chronicles, every Wednesday just for you. And let me tell you a little bit about her. She earned her MA, and she is passionate about supporting you on your path towards living your best life. She is an international empowerment coach, a speaker, an NLP master practitioner, and hypnotherapist. She's worked for major studios, businesses, and with individual persons, helping you to become a better person and improving your life. So let's just get started, and let's say hello to Joyce Alexander Black. Hi, Joyce. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you today, Rose?
I'm doing good. I'm just happy that we're getting a little sunshine here, and you know, my flowers are coming back and my plants, and that makes me very happy. So,
always.
We can also be kind to our plants, right? And our flowers and the environment, not just to people.
100%. Yeah, I'm actually not in Los Angeles. I'm actually in Sweden right now. And
really?
Being in a Scandinavian country, I've never thought about it before. But, I mean, I thought about going and stuff, and it just wound up that business situation occurred, and we needed to go to Norway. And the people are so different. They're so kind. They're so – and, of course, we can't, like, generalize, like, there's no crime and this and that, because there's crime everywhere. But it's a different level. Like going to a hotel and saying, is there a safe? I couldn't find it. Oh, you don't need a safe here. What do you mean I don't need a safe? What are you talking about? Oh, no, nobody steals. What do you mean nobody steals? I mean, it's different. Like, in America also, we're used to giving a large amount of tips. Well, they don't tip the maid. And I was confused, and I thought, well, why is that? And so I started asking questions, because the government takes care of them. I said, what do you mean? And they go, well, everybody gets a very high salary. And let's say people who earn a lot of money don't make as much as they would do, let's say, in America. Like, doctors make a large amount, but their taxes are really high. So their income could show a lot, but their actual money that they make is a lot less than, let's say, a doctor in America. But they don't have malpractice insurance. They don't have to pay for their secretaries and this and that. And what I've really seen, which I didn't anticipate and I didn't expect, was the kindness, was just the generosity of spirit. I didn't know that still existed anywhere in the world. And the more I've talked to people, the more I don't understand how we have got America the way it is. I mean, there's one thing.
Why do you think, but Joyce, why do you think that they are more apt to perform acts of kindness in Sweden and Norway than in other countries, especially America?
I think the reason is safety. Nobody. Again, I'm making general statements, but this is from what I've spoken to people about and what I've heard, is that they trust their government. They have a national medical service, so nobody goes without medical care. There's not guns like there is in America. There's not homeless like there is in America. Like, I think the whole time I've seen two homeless people. Now, granted, I'm not, you know, going all throughout. However, it's hugely different. And from what I understand, that imagine when you live in a country where your politics is completely insane. And I asked them about COVID. I said, were you told you had to get COVID vaccines? And they said, well, it was highly suggested. So what does that mean? Well, they would say it's a really good idea. And if you work in the healthcare, it's very important, so you keep other people safe. But nobody watched you. Nobody made sure, like, we get on trams and buses. It's not like they check if you paid. They assume you would, because that's what you do. That's what it costs, and that's being honorable. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, if this was L.A., I want your ticket. I want to show that you paid. There's no, like, you don't have the money, get off. It's just not happening. And the same thing in other countries, not just to pick on America. I mean, England's like that. France is like that. Germany's like that. I mean, but it's not like that in the Scandinavian countries. And
well, I find that really interesting, because if you remember – up until probably, I would say, before the new millennium anyway, people were more apt to help their neighbors. They knew their neighbors. They they were kinder, and you didn't hear the F word in every song and every movie. It's like they don't know the English language, so they use that word over and over and over again in the films and the movies and the video games the kids play.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only word you hear. And you didn't hear that before. And kids didn't say that before. And neither did adults, you know. I mean, in private, but not in public, not in, you know, not continuously in everything. And you also didn't see nude people on the streets, because there were laws that said that's indecent exposure and they would get arrested. I mean, now you see them in America in front of the White House, all over, everywhere, disrespecting our country, disrespecting our government, disrespecting our White House, disrespecting the American people who oppose immorality, and it's in our face. And so we have come to a place where people become angry at watching our morals being just ripped apart and our children not having any role models as far as whether it's the politicians, whether it's the school teachers today, whether it's the doctors who are doing these mutilation surgeries and so forth. So we have totally changed since the new millennium from who we are, who we're supposed to be, who I believe most people still want to be, but we have all of these political agendas and all these different groups who control a lot of the agendas coming against our morals and our values and our, our integrity, our principles, our values that we were so important to us in the past. Now these things make people angry and they act out. So how do people cope with that?
Well, see, that's the thing, is that I actually was thrown back by kindness. And like, we went to the beach and I said to the concierge, I said, how do I keep my thing safe? She goes, from who? I said, from people, like my watch, my phone, you know, my wallet, my credit cards, you know, things like that. She goes, well, why would someone take it? Oh my goodness. I'm like, where did I just go back 100 years? What do you mean, why would someone take it? And I'm thinking all this in my head and I just go, because people steal sometimes. She goes, oh, that's so horrible. I said, you really don't experience that. She goes, oh, no. And I'm sitting there going, uh-huh. I'm still not so sure. I get to the beach. I look at all these people. Nobody cares. They have their little backpack and they put their stuff in it. They jump in the water. Everyone's having a good time. Nobody's even thinking to steal it. And I'm like, I'm going to even push the boat out a little further. So I said to this woman, I said, you speak English? She said, yes. I said, fantastic. Could you take some pictures of me with my phone while I'm in the water? She's like, sure. And I said, and just throw it in my backpack when you're done. She did. Wow.
Yeah, but that's how it was in the past in America. It wasn't as it is today with the open borders and 35 million unidentified people who I believe, you know, is a huge problem for America, because that leaves people fearful, anxious, and then we have the lack of communication because some of them don't speak English and don't care to speak English in our country. And I believe that all of this deterioration has led to the anxiety, the fear, the depression.
Yeah.
And so we don't know who our neighbors are. We don't trust our neighbors. I mean, I live in a fairly safe neighborhood, I would say. But most recently, there have been a neighborhood watch group that reports online. And there have been people who look upper middle class, dress upper middle class, drive nice cars, and females so far that they've caught on camera, who have actually come up to the home when nobody's home and taken like the UPS packages or the Prime packages left on the porch, or even plants. I saw one video where the woman came and took the plant from the woman's yard in the pot. I mean, I was just amazed. And so this fear is real, and it's happening not only in poor neighborhoods, but in middle class and upper middle class neighborhoods as well. So how do people
react to all
of this?
I mean, that is, I think the first thing is just realizing, one, there are, that it's living in a life where there's real fear factors. I mean, I remember this time I went to England and it was Halloween and I put out a pennies and I thought, oh, that's going to be, someone's just going to dump it right in their basket. It's not going to go for everyone. And I had a note, please take one. And it was true. They all took one and they left me like 50 pennies. I'm like, really? And that doesn't happen anymore. So you do that, whether England, other countries, you see one kid on, you know, Ring doorbell, dumps the whole thing in their basket. So What has happened? You know, it's like, this just reminded me that there, what we used to have, what the world used to have. And through, you know, you could blame it on, you know, things changed from COVID, which it has, but it was way before that too. And what has happened is it's like, you know, like Maslow's hierarchy, you know, first you have to make sure you have food, you have shelter, you know, the necessities, the basic, you know, necessities of life. So then you can go up and then you could start using your brain and start thinking, what can I do to, let's say, start a new business? What can I do? Write a book. There's all these different things. So when you find yourself in fear, when you're starting to notice that you're reactive, it's like I saw a movie recently with Matt Damon and he did something I thought was fantastic. Someone called him, I think it was like selfish, and he's like, yeah, sometimes I'm selfish. He did not let him trigger him at all. He just like, yeah, that may be true about me. I may want to look at that. So the guy could not get him to react. And I thought, that is the key. That is the key. When somebody calls you a name and or tells you you're acting a certain way, the normal thing is like this child tit for tat. Well, you're this. Well, you're that. And it's like this gets, you know, into a really big argument. And if people would just go, okay, yeah, well, sometimes I'm selfish. Yeah, sometimes. Well, how do you think I'm selfish? What did I do that made you think that? And you don't get reactive. You don't give your power away. You stay with, that may be true. This is how you own your power with whoever you're dealing with. Especially with spouses, because they're the ones who could trigger us the most, as well as children and family. And a friend of mine, she's actually funny. She's a lawyer and a doctor in LA, and she said a joke to me. She said, you know, I tell my mother I'm going to school to become a doctor and a lawyer. What does she say? Why don't you marry one? Not, I'm proud of you. You know, she's like, I can't win with that woman. But it's like, you know, and it's like, you like that one. That's right.
But I do.
Yeah, it's like, you know, yeah, it's like, why? So she taught me something, which I thought is one of the most powerful things that there is when someone hurts your feelings, or really when you feel your feelings are hurt by someone, their actions, their tone, and whatever it is, you could just say, ouch, that hurt. And what I've also found is sometimes I'll say that, and then the person would say, well, you're sensitive. Okay, I'm sensitive. It still felt bad. That's one way. Another way is, you know, you could say something like, I'm not sure what that meant. Could you explain to me what that meant? Was it a compliment or an insult? I'm not sure. And see, what I'm finding is the more that I'm doing this work, the more that I'm interviewing people, the more life experience, it's all about our reactivity. So going back to, let's say, Norway, you say something to someone in Norway, okay, their English may not be perfect. They come from such a loving space, their consciousness, their mindfulness is not that you're trying to hurt them. So they don't even, you may give them an insult and they may go, I don't understand. Did you want me to do something different? With this like beautiful open eyes, face, it's like, oh my gosh. And the patience, like you don't interrupt someone when they're doing business. If you go to a bar and you want a glass of water, you wait till they finish with the other person. You have patience. They have patience. And what I'm really finding is through meditation, through learning and listening to other people is, and my own life experience, when a person gets upset, you have choices. If you just go to that innate child tit for tat, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you, you'll have an argument. You will also wind up feeling bad afterwards. If you instead say something like, I don't understand what you meant by that. Could you explain that to me? You think the person usually is going to say, actually, I was really being rude to you and you didn't get it? They'll probably think about it and say, maybe I should try to rephrase that. And 90%.
Yeah, I think too, I'm sorry. Go ahead. 90% what?
I was just going to say 90% of our communication is nonverbal. It's our tone. It's our body language.
Well, that's another problem, though, with all of these countries who are all these people from third world countries who are in our nation now illegally. God bless them, but illegal is illegal, and the laws are intended for just exactly what you're talking about, to make sure that people who are coming into the country are not criminals, are not anti-American, are not cartel or gang members, are not jihadists or terrorists, are not spies, are not bringing in drugs and guns. And the hypocrisy of our government is that they keep the borders open in violation of federal and state law, and a violation of the Constitution that guarantees sovereignty and safety and welfare to the legal American people, and on our homeland, because this is a homeland. And so I see this as an invasion of a home. We have a homeland where we live on our homeland, just like any other country. And so when you're talking about Scandinavian countries, you're probably talking about like Victoria Island. It was the same way. There's very, very little crime there. Everybody's very kind, nice. They don't, at least when I visited, they didn't lock anything up. And I had quite a bit of valuable jewelry at the time. I was on that vacation, left it in a suitcase on a bus. And guess what? They opened up the bus area where they took the buses late at night, and they searched the bus. And there was my suitcase, and nobody touched it. Imagine that. That would never happen today. And so the same thing, you know, nobody stole it, you know. And so there are areas like that. But then you're also looking at governments who actually uphold the law and the sovereignty and only allow legal migration into their country, people who are vetted.
Yes.
People who are not going to steal, people who aren't going to cheat and lie and break into your home. So, I mean, every country has some of that, but our country didn't have as much as we do today until globalism entered and open borders and outsourcing and people coming in and out of our country who aren't vetted. And the only people who really are vetted are natural-born Americans today.
I know, and like I love how you were saying about, you know, you're talking about the illegal aliens and or not aliens. It's funny, people who are illegal or even legal. They're like, we're aliens. Okay, I don't know where that came from. That is a funny word. But, you know, illegally in the U.S., it's like, I'll stand in the alien line, right? Okay.
We have all kinds of aliens, and now they're coming from space.
Yes, and who knows
the
where.
Thing
I mean,
in the news.
But the I know we're living in a time, like if you believe in God, whatever God, it's like it's all about the time before the Messiah. These are these crazy things that happen. But whatever, whether it's a religious thing or not, I mean, we are literally living in a place that you're talking about open borders. Is there open borders? Why were people brought in to the U.S. that during COVID, who had COVID, and put in these cages, and then the vice president couldn't find them? I mean, there's all this craziness that makes no sense.
It's not funny, but it
right.
is so absurd that we have laws and we pay 100%. Them to uphold the laws, and they don't. They violate the laws. And say, we don't care about the will of the people. We don't care about the supreme laws of the land. We're going to do whatever we want to do for whatever their personal or political or financial gain happens to be. And, I mean, that's why I believe our country is in such a mess today and why we are
yeah.
not performing acts of kindness, because everybody's living in fear. Every day there's something new, Joyce. It's like, oh, the reptilians are here now, and they crashed into this place, and they crashed in Nevada, and they've got them everywhere, you know, and they're going to attack us. I mean, it's all this fear that the government and the media keeps putting on people who...
Oh,
and
then let's not even go to the place of, like, AI. It's like, oh, well, we shouldn't be doing this, because we found out that AI actually can outsmart us and probably eliminate us, but we're hoping that doesn't happen, but we've had proof that they can just not follow our direction. Therefore, it's scary. Okay, so no one wants to stop because they don't want anyone to get there first. So this is a very – living in a country where it is like that, your shoulders go up, your tension goes up, even if you've got massages every day, you're just – being and existing in that fear is what's happening. And I think that there's so many forms of stress management that people could do. Like while I was going through grad school and stuff, and I learned a lot about stress, and I was watching people and dealing with, you know, working as a therapist with people who had relationship issues and communication. And it made me start thinking, like, how is it nobody spent time teaching people about communication? And then you have these people who are in government, and not just the U.S., a lot, most countries, and it's all about being in the child, you know, tit for tat. And they're all playing these childish games. I mean, look what happened with the governor of Texas. I love him. But what he did was, I found it hysterical, where the vice president couldn't find the home, the immigrants, and she's like, well, I couldn't find them. And he's like, ma'am, you come here, I will personally get to the airport, I will personally escort you and show you exactly where they are, because there's no way you can miss this. And she's like, oh, it doesn't fit in my schedule right now. Okay. So the vice president of the United States of America could not find them. And then they're sending these migrants, like, to Florida, and then the governor sends them back to Biden's family. And then they did that in the middle of the night, they're sent. And then they were sent to Texas, and he sent them to the White House. But why are they in America? Why is this
nobody even bothered to ask why these presidents, past and current, were flying in illegals from the Middle East and from other third world nations into our country and then funding them, because there are laws on the book on the books. I've been an advocate for justice for a long time and studied paralegal classes and blah, blah, blah.
Impressive.
To college. Oh, yeah. And so there are laws on the book that say it's illegal, unlawful, unconstitutional to fund, harbor, aid, and abet illegal people in our country.
You would think that
would be... how difficult is it for them to understand? I don't understand why they don't understand the word illegal.
You know, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but one of my thinking was when I remember, it wasn't that long ago, maybe 10 years ago, someone who cleaned my house, and that was about $12 an hour, which I thought was just like reasonable. I mean, today it's ridiculous. Like 2 hours, it's $100. And
right.
It's very, I think what's also happened is that people are knowing that they can get a college degree and there's different ways that they can make money. People are finding through COVID how many jobs are no one's applying for. Why? Because they found out during COVID they can make money online. They started being more of an entrepreneur, which is great in one hand, but we need the people to work as maids. We need the people to work as gas attendants, not anything where to judge it and say that's a lower position. It's not about that. It's about we need to survive as a community. But we don't have that mentality. It's all about how much money do you have? What kind of car do you drive? What kind of business do you own? Or what kind of business do you work in? And it really is very sad. But this is the role that we play. And I guess the way, think of Martin Luther King, you know, one voice makes the difference. I think the thing is saying, I'm no longer willing to just follow these people. It's like my dad raised me to be a critical thinker. What happened to critical thinking? You're a critical thinker. I love that. But what happened? Like COVID happened, vaccines happened. So we trust the government to tell us what to do. We don't question anymore. So it's like,
because Joyce, they used
thinking.
Fear again. Joyce, they used fear again, if you recall.
Yes.
They used. I was the first one that I believe that posted online that fear-mongering and isolating children and elderly people was a violation of the law. They cannot do that, but they did it anyway. And they did a lot of violations of the law during COVID. I mean, I have lots of blogs on that, and I did a lot of intense research on it. And because I believe in questioning what is the government, why is the government telling me that I cannot go outside and breathe in fresh air and exhale carbon monoxide, which is called the breath of life, which is why we have our lungs and our nose and our mouth, because God told us he breathed into Adam's mouth and he breathed in the breath of life, because without the breath of life and exercising that 24/7 all day, every day during our lifetime, it can cause damage to our cells, to our immune system, to our heart, to our lungs, to our brain. And what is the first thing they do when somebody has a brain injury? Oh, back up, give them air. And what is the first thing the paramedics do? They give them oxygen. So they were taking away our oxygen supply and telling us to wear 3 or 4 masks with no, I researched this very intensely, with not 1 ounce of evidence that masks stop viruses. And so, but they do can cause gum disease. You can lose your teeth and you can die from gum disease. So, you know, nobody wanted to hear that. Nobody wanted to hear that, you know, in the government or who were invested in big pharma and, you know, like the big, big names, we know who was in, backed it up, especially 3 key people. There's more than that, but who forced this upon the American people and the world. And this is the problem of fear-mongering. And fear-mongering is against the law because that is what criminals do to their victims, to get them to do what they want and to obey them. And that's exactly what the government did to the world, in my opinion.
Yes, and my opinion as well, and I see that it is one of those things where many, many years ago, I met a senator, and we're talking 20 years ago, and he described to me exactly what was going to happen and said, and what happens is once you give your power away, little by little, they just keep on taking and they never give it back. So like what you're talking about, money. Yeah, guess what's when they start saying, oh, yeah, guess what? You're overweight. Sorry, you can't go to McDonald's today. Even if you really wanted that, whatever it is that you want, you can't go it. No, you have to have this, this, and that. I mean, it will get to, it will only be loss and loss and loss of freedom. And it's scary when you look at some of these movies and what they show you the cities will look like, places that you can't
smart
even
cities.
Look at and say that's home. What's that?
They want, oh, they're called smart cities. And about 15 years ago, Joyce, a computer, a high-powered computer guy used to make all the 500 Fortune, not all of them, but some 500 Fortune companies, videos, advertising on video and stuff. And he sent me this video about 15 years ago. And it's still in my mind today where the person drives, maybe you saw it, the person drives up to like a McDonald's, let's say, and he orders a cheeseburger and a large fry and a large Coke and some maybe some onion rings or whatever. And they go, well, hello, Mr. Smith. How are you today? And, well, I'm sorry, sir, but you are 40 pounds overweight, and you are only allowed to have a salad with low calorie dressing. And, you know, and, I mean, they had everything, all his information, his everything
about him
was in the computer that they could, and they knew his name, they knew his address, they knew everything about him. And that was the most frightening video ever. And so the poor guy couldn't eat a cheeseburger. He had to have a salad with low-calorie dressing. But isn't that about where we're going? I mean, we're headed. There was just 18,000 cows that suddenly were burned to ashes. I mean, these 18,000 cows, and you know that they want to feed you fake meat. And they've already selling some of it, I believe. And so it's really, when you look at it, it's all about the money and depopulation and people getting sick from these fake foods because they're not going to have the nutritional value that God created in all the plants that have everything we possibly could need to stay healthy.
Right, and they're talking about putting the mRNA in the food as well. I mean, it is so crazy. And there was this thing that they were, I forgot the country. I think it was some country in Asia. And they didn't have any cancer in the entire country. So what happened is they started connecting it to all these all these different vegetables and fruits that were in that we were getting. And why were they in the fruits and vegetables? Oh, well, somebody who's in charge of lots of these seeds were spraying them. So then they couldn't let this country not get cancer, because then it would be obvious. What are you doing different? So they gave them free seeds, and guess what? They started getting cancer. So it's the kind of thing that it's just so horrific to really think any person could be okay with this and go to sleep at night. And there was a movie many years ago I watched on this man, can't remember the name of it, but he was selling cigarettes. And someone said, but you know that it causes cancer. He goes, yes. And if I don't sell it, someone else will. And this pays my mortgage. This is my job. And probably the mentality that a lot of people take in order to do these jobs. And I don't think anybody could possibly think, well, how can we go back? How can we stop this? Stop letting people in? How do we take care of all the people who are there illegally and make a difference and say to them, you know, to have like morals and bring things to a place where you don't have fear. I was just talking about these whole keyless car thing. Well, most people who are breaking into cars are because they have all these keyless car stuff on their phone. And so it's easy for them. They don't even need a key anymore. And they just open the car and they can just drive someone's car away. And look at how strange it is to live in a world where we are actually talking about having cars where nobody is driving. And it's all computerized. I mean, this is like the Jetsons. I mean, it's like living in a time on so many levels, right? It's
or
like
either
when you
that
really,
or the,
like, think about. Yeah,
it is. It's true. I mean, it actually started to accelerate when Bill Clinton took office in 1993, and he was the one who opened the borders and outsourced to China all our intellectual property, our businesses, and our jobs over to China. Now, China was a very poor country. They're overpopulated. Some people even have to stand up to sleep because there's so many people. It's a true story. I read
right.
it in, I think it was
right.
Time or Newsweek or something a while back. And their hotels just are, their apartment houses are collapsing right now in certain cities and their roads because they're so poorly constructed. They look beautiful, but once something happens, they just fall apart. And they aren't constructed like they are in America. And so here we are building up China, sending billions and billions of dollars and outsourcing our intellectual property and the inventions that Americans made and the companies and the jobs over to China. And I complained about it when it started. I used to call into ABC Radio and complain about it all the time.
Good.
And then there was, of course, these men who would say, oh, she didn't know what she's talking about. This is good for America. It's going to be great. It's going to be great for everybody. And I'd say, no, I debate them, of course, and I go, no, it's not, because you're not looking at the big picture. You're not looking at the future when Americans aren't going to have any jobs. And if they keep telling them to go to college and get computer jobs, I said, eventually those jobs are going to run out. We're not going to have any plumbers or electricians or construction guys because they're not going to have any skilled labor. Everybody can't go to college to be a white-collar worker and work on computers. We have infrastructure that needs to be taken care of. Now, back in the 90s,
exactly.
There was an article, I can't remember if it was Time or Newsweek, I used to subscribe to them all the time because the writers were so articulate. And even if I didn't agree with them, their writing was amazing. And so anyway, this one writer, he wrote that about infrastructure. This was back under the Clinton era, that it's going to cost billions of dollars that is needed to start repairing the bridges and the roads and all of the dams and everything else. And then nobody paid attention. And who knows how much it would cost today, because it was in the billions back then. And look what happened with Katrina. And I think there was a few other dams that broke too. So, I mean, so here we are sending all this money to China. And what does China do? They threaten to attack us. So, I mean, it makes no sense to me that they did not protect the American people and our homeland. I mean, sending money across the oceans to feed the people, well, billions and billions of dollars. We've done that to all these third world countries to help them. But guess what? The people are still poor. How is that? How are they still hungry? How is there no clean water?
It's like teaching someone how to, giving them a fish, feed them for a day, teach them how to fish, feed them for life. It's like there was no, like, infrastructure to teach that. But, you know, you make some really, really good points. You're fascinating to always speak with. And you talk about how did we get there? Like, why wasn't there some kind of person who could create a map and say this is what happened? But look at what happened. Like, I don't understand how in California, where it's well known, how many earthquakes does California have? I mean, I'm hoping no more for a long, long time. But the point is that there were some very serious ones, and it's like earthquake, territory. Why would they put a subway underground in an area that has earthquakes? Then what happened is they did this subway from like Highland and somewhere on Sunset, it cracked the entire street and it broke the freeway. So they had to hire all these massive engineers and some people actually from China and that came and they redid it. And someone just said, why didn't anyone think to go above ground? Hello? Like Disneyland has a great system and you go very fast and there's no other cars around. You're not going underground to in a place that has earthquakes. But no, they figured out a way and they cost them how many billions and trillions, who knows what. And they were just determined to do this, but it made no sense. And it's not a system that most Californians use, but it's there. But also, like what you're talking about, it reminds me of when I worked in the Department of Mental Health. Well, Reagan closed a lot of the mental hospitals. There's not many left. And I worked in a place where I had about 1,000 clients. And in 1,000 clients, they had to be severely mentally ill. They couldn't have just one mental illness. It had to be two. So like schizophrenia and bipolar or, two. So it's dual. And what happened was then they cut a lot of services. So I had clients who were murderers and so on. And guess what happens when they cut their meds? It gets worse. So now those people are on the street because they start feeling better. Oh, I don't need my meds. And they don't realize how bad off they are until it's too late. But then they wind up, they used to go to the mental hospital. Then they get them sorted. They'd stay there for whatever, a couple weeks, couple months, get them into a better system. They're not there. So the mental health suffers big time.
The mental health suffered a lot, and that was the dumbest thing that could have ever happened, in my opinion. I worked at the crisis clinic at a major hospital for the chief of psychiatry during the time that they were closed the crisis clinic. And we were protesting with the social workers and the doctors and everything. I was an administrative assistant to the chief. And so we were all protesting, writing letters and doing all of this because the patients would come in and if they were hungry, we'd get them a meal from the cafeteria, order a meal, or if we had coffee and water for them. And because a lot of them, they could come in on a sliding scale. They could have no money or they could have to pay depending on their wages. And so they'd still get their meds even if they had no money. And so this was a place for them to come. They could get something to drink, something to eat, get their meds. And there were some dangerous people who, were in the major hospital upstairs in the psych ward. And so here you're talking about people that can't take care of themselves. And like you said, some will commit suicide or crimes. Maybe their families don't want them because they can't, take care of them. And they need to be, under a crisis clinic agenda policy, or they need to be, you know, outpatient, or they need to be inpatient upstairs in the psych ward. And so here they were cutting all this. They wanted to close the crisis clinic, you know, and I mean, this was a major important facility needed for the mentally ill, along with the psych ward upstairs. And it was just, I never understood why they would do something. But like you, I started noticing later on that there were homeless people. And I always, too, I wondered if it was because they had nowhere to go. And so they ended up on illegal drugs because there was nowhere to go to get their legal drugs.
Yeah, a lot of people, they think, okay, I'll self-medicate, sometimes alcohol, sometimes other sources. And what happens is it may work for a little bit, and there's so much to deal with mental illness. It's not just taking the meds, and it's a process, and some people never get better. And the best they could do is just survive. I remember having a client where I suggested to maybe change up the routine just by reading out of a book one sentence a day. Put him right back into the mental hospital. It was too much. So I learned as an intern that if they're just surviving, sometimes that's good enough. But what happens is we go through different phases in life where, again, we're like giving so much to other countries, giving so much charity, doing so much. But at the same time, big picture, it's not like we're hiring people who don't know better. We have the top best people in the U.S. They're not listening. They have an agenda that we don't know about. Who knows what's going on with all this money from, you know, whether it's Hillary, whether it's Biden, whether it's Trump, there's a lot of craziness that has gone on, and everyone points the finger to someone else. The point is, when you're living in a world where we're talking about cars driving that has no people, we're talking about AI that is real, that wasn't really talked about a year ago, and now all of a sudden it's now a big deal because the AI has probably surpassed humans, and something's going to happen. And so what, another vaccine? I mean, I don't know. What is really going on?
I don't know how many they want to jab people because, you know, I mean, you only have one arm. I mean, how many jabs do they want to give you, you know? Seriously.
I know.
I mean, you know, too many chemicals in the body is not a good thing because the body doesn't, you know, many times rejects them, and it causes adverse effects and destroys the immune system over time if you have too many chemicals in the body. And so,
absolutely,
you know, we really need to not allow people to just suddenly tell us, you can't go to work, you can't open your business even if you're healthy, you can't go outside, you can't have Thanksgiving dinner with your family, I don't care if you're healthy or not, because, you know, and you have to wear a mask or you're going to be arrested, when they have no evidence, no proof to prove to anybody that any of this worked, which I found to be totally negligent, gross negligence, and nobody got into trouble for it. And I find that very sad in our country today, that this whole agenda went down as it did, and many people did suffer the consequences that they do not talk about. And will not talk about. And so we can't talk about it on the show either, because then they don't like that. So
right.
We can't do that because our freedom's taken away from us. So here we are.
And it goes
but
back
anyway,
to critical.
And
right.
now the clock is taking away our freedom. It is sad. It is so sad, Joyce. But we'll have to continue on with this.
Right. I'll just say one thought on that is that, you know, when life goes to the way where there's no accountability, there's nowhere that's going, the main thing I would say to everyone is you can't control anyone but yourself. And what you can do is just take a lot of deep breaths, put your hand on your heart if you're alone. If you're not, when you're around somebody else, just calm your nervous system down. Because if you react when you're upset, you will have an argument. And life is causing lots of craziness and fears, but what you can control is your reactivity. And if you work hard on that, you can do it, and you can, you know, have a better life, 100%. And if you want to check out my work, please check my website at www.joycealexanderblack.com, as well as iTunes or Amazon. If you put my name in, you'll see my 7 recordings, and hoping my book will come out in the next few months, and that's will help on communication. I hope it will help a lot. And I thank you so much, Rose. You are just fabulous. You are so on target, and you're helping so many people. So much for that.
Oh, thank you, and I can't wait to talk to you again. We'll follow up on this topic because it's very important. And God bless you, and keep up the good work, Joyce Alexander Black. And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, and God bless you too, Rose Colombo. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And Joyce Alexander Black has left the building. Google her name in, and you will find her learn more about her and possibly buy her audio tapes as well on iTunes. And that's all we have time for. And if you want to know about an exciting adventure, international award winner, and 5-star review that critics say is a message for the world about our humanity, listen to this. And I want to say God bless you and God bless America and everyone around the world.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Well, my friends, time flies. And now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Colombo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Colombo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.